As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister named Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had been made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or only indeed one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her."
So a little Christmas trivia to start us off today. There's the story of the Magi, or the wise men, we call them, that visited Jesus. And, you know, it's part of the nativity scene usually. How many wise men were there? Does anybody know? So I hear three, more than three. But definitely right there, Anthony. But we don't know. Actually, the scriptures never tell us how many there were. But we think there was, well, often the tradition says there's three. You know why there's three thought of? Because it was three gifts given that are mentioned. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So there's often then thought that there was three people. But there's this funny thought that, do you know what would have happened if actually, well, and I need to tell you that the wise men didn't actually show up to visit Jesus on the night he was born, right? They showed up sometime after that, like maybe a year or two after. If you look at it, it says Jesus was a toddler. So the nativity scene is wrong. But that's tradition. But you know what would have happened if instead of three wise men, there were three wise women? You know what would have happened? They would have asked for directions. They would have arrived there on time. They would have helped deliver baby Jesus. They would have cleaned up the stable, made casserole, and given practical gifts, and peace would be on earth. That's what they think. It's a funny joke. But there is a story about the day that Abraham Lincoln, the president, Abraham Lincoln, you know who that is, right? I hope. And when he was born in Kentucky, there was this story about that day, and a neighbor of his, or his family, hailed a man from town that was walking by, as they lived outside of town quite a ways. And he said, "Hey, any news down at the village, Ezra?" Well, and the guy answered, "Well, Squire McLean's gone off to see Madison sworn in as president. And I heard Mr. Spellman tell us that this Bonaparte fellow had captured most of Spain. And then, what's news out here, neighbor?" And so this guy says, "Oh, really, nothing's going on out here. Nothing at all. Oh, at the Lincoln cabin down there, they had a new baby, but actually nothing's going on." And Abraham Lincoln was born, and it was seen as unimportant. It was just this everyday thing happening. And in the same time, in the day that Jesus was born, it was the same thing. Most of the people in that area of the world, in the whole world, Jesus' birth was just nothing. It wasn't important. Of course, the shepherds it was. It freaked them out when the angels appeared and Mary and Joseph saw it. It was significant. But most of the world just went by. It was unimportant to them. Even for many of us Christians, we get so busy, so involved in Christmas season that we, as followers of Jesus, tend to treat Christmas season as unimportant. We don't remember that the season's reason for the season is Jesus' birth and Jesus himself. And we get so busy and caught up with it. Some of us have put in extra hours this time of the year, either at work, because it's the end of the year, right? It gets really busy. Or maybe we put in extra hours volunteering to volunteer service, like at the Christmas community dinner we just had, or maybe at Elijah's Promise Soup Kitchen or the food bank or whatever we try to do, because we think at this time of year, we're supposed to be doing these kind of good deeds. So we busy ourselves doing service, which is a good thing. And there might be some late nights for us, you know, with dinner parties and special gatherings with friends and going out to eat. And then we might have to, like, figure out what gifts we still need to wrap and give to people, and cards or greetings we have to send that we haven't got to yet. And then we have all these things in our minds, and now it's Christmas Day. It's here. And what things have you finished your list of things you have to do? Is there still people that you've got gifts to wrap, or greetings you didn't send yet. There are people you wish you could meet up with that you haven't met up with yet, and you just haven't got to it yet. It's so busy for all of us at this time of year. Well, people have shared with me that they really don't like Christmas because of how busy it gets at this time of year. And even for myself, as a pastor, I have to confess to you, I didn't like Christmas. Once I became a pastor, I stopped liking Christmas. And it's kind of ironic because of how busy my life became, and I was so insanely, like, my list of to-do grew greatly. Until a few years ago, actually, when Pastor Paul came on and we started talking about Advent and starting to work through this whole Advent focus of Christ, the risen Christ, did my joy of Christmas start to return. My joy of Jesus was always there. I was so busy during Christmas time. How do you celebrate Christmas? What is your traditions in celebrating Christmas? Is this a time simply to give and receive gifts, which is often our focus? To volunteer to help and give generously to those in need? To gather with our family and friends to renew the love we have for each other and feel good about each other, which is very important. But actually, none of these things have anything to do with what Christmas is about. Christmas has to do with all about what we do with Jesus. What do we do with Jesus? Because Christmas is all about Christ, Jesus. So we see that you and I have a choice. What are we going to do about Jesus at Christmas? And the story of Jesus' visit to Martha and Mary's home illustrates these choices we have when it comes to what do we do with Jesus at Christmas. Actually, what do we do with Jesus every day of our lives? It illustrates this. So are we going to have what I'm going to call a Martha Christmas or a Mary Christmas, M-A-R-Y? Let's look closer at the text and the choices that lay before us. So the story begins with Jesus and his disciples traveling the countryside, as they often did at that time, and they come to a village where a woman named Martha opens her home to host them, to feed them, and for them to stay. Now, it's significant here in this ancient text that Martha is mentioned as the homeowner. She's a woman, and this is unusual, which probably implies that she's a widow. Her husband died, so now the home is hers. And we know from the Gospel of John some other facts about Martha and her family. We know that Jesus became very good friends with Martha and Mary and her brother Lazarus, and he'd often visit their home in this village called Bethany. It's not mentioned here in our text, but the name of this village is Bethany. And Martha was the sister of what I just mentioned, Lazarus, who was, you remember who Lazarus is? Significant? Lazarus died at one story in the scriptures, and he was dead for 4 days, and then Jesus raised him up to life again. So this is the Lazarus, this is all that family, Martha, Lazarus, and Mary. And it was probably Martha's house where Martha's younger sister, Mary, anointed Jesus with perfume 6 days before his crucifixion, before he died. So Martha has this compassionate and generous heart to host these men, Jesus and his disciples that had been traveling, these hungry men. And it's probably kind of expensive, right, to feed hungry guys that have been traveling and thereby walking. And it's not like they're riding horses or driving their cars around. No, they're walking all over the place. So these are hungry guys. They're all coming in. And she is willing to open her home and host them because Jesus is, you know, very fond to her. And so, while Jesus was in their home of Martha and Mary, we see that they respond to Jesus in two very different ways. And so this illustrates the choices we have. And if we respond in Martha's way toward Jesus, we will have a Martha Christmas. And let's see what this choice would look for us, what it means for us. A Martha Christmas is full of distractions, like Martha was. In the first part of verse 40 says, but Martha was distracted with much serving. Martha wanted to honor Jesus because Jesus was important to her, and she wanted to give the best of the best of the best for Jesus. So she was thinking of all these good dishes. Like, what is a great Chinese meal? How many dishes do they have to serve? Like 8 or 10? Well, yeah, all of them, but yeah, if you're going to a special meal, it's going to be 8 or 10 courses in Chinese custom. And that, I don't know how you cook all that and have it all ready at the same time. But Martha's thinking she wanted to prepare the best. So she's thinking, I'm going to cook my best. I'm going to prepare my best stuff that I'm going to serve it with. And if Jesus came into our home, or say President Obama, he's saying, you know, who am I going to visit before I stop being president? I'm going to come to your house. What would we do? How would we prepare our house? Right? We'd want the best of the best. We'd want to wear our best clothes. We'd want to put our best china out there. We would want to, you know, do everything that is the best. And we'd be pretty busy preparing, plus the social service, Secret Service. There we go. Would have to come and check our house out and all this stuff and make sure it's safe for the president to come and visit us. But we do all these little special extra things that show our guest how honored he is or she is to being in our home. But Martha was distracted from her guest, who is Jesus, because all her preparations in her mind for Jesus, they became the focus. This reminds me of some memories I have of my family gatherings at Christmas. We don't gather on Christmas weekend because I'm a pastor, and it's good to be as a pastor here at the church on Christmas, like today, right? It's good for us to be here. And so we plan our Christmas as a family the weekend usually before Christmas, and we all gather up in Albany area. And this is a picture of my gathering just this past weekend. Last weekend we got gathered there. Well, in years previous to this, my mom just turned 80. We celebrated that together. So she's in her older years, but when she was a little younger, she would be busy about doing everything. So we'd gather and we'd be sitting around talking as brothers, my two brothers and my sister and their family and the kids and their wives and stuff. And so we're all sitting around talking, and my mom's busy cleaning and preparing and doing whatever, and she's buzzing through by, and she catches glimpses or pieces of our conversation. And I remember her often, she would get to the point and say, I'm missing out on what you're sharing about your lives. And we're like, well, then just stop doing all the stuff you're doing, you know? And finally she would sit down and spend the rest of the time with us. And now she is more calm, and she just sits and lets us do all the work, which is good. Or my sister does most of the work. Unfortunately, yeah. But we try to help out. And so she was so distracted by doing all these nice things for us, she then was missing out on what was most valuable to her, ultimately. And so that's what she came to realize. And the Christmas season is this way for many of us, isn't it? We become so busy doing the nice things for those we care about, giving gifts to the people we love, hopefully, our lives become distracted from the very person who is the motivating factor, or should be the motivating factor, for why we're giving these gifts to the people. And that is out of what Christ has done for us. That's where the whole idea of giving gifts at Christmas comes from, is that Jesus is God's gift to us. And so Christians like to give gifts to others in that line of thinking. We'd like to be generous. But it's kind of moved away from that. We're still generous, but maybe the motivation for that is change. It's not because of Christ, it's because of other reasons and other expectations. So today, will we choose a Martha Christmas and spend the full day of nice distractions, giving gifts, opening gifts, eating and enjoying family and friends and renewing those relationships, but neglecting or not even focusing on Jesus? And bringing him into the conversation and centering him, our activities around him and the reason why we're doing all these things. I grew up in a Christian home. Our family was very involved in church, like some of your families. And I remember that we would get together on Christmas Day. I was so excited as a kid because I knew I was going to get a lot of stuff. That's why I was excited. And that's what we did. We opened gifts on Christmas morning, and it was a great, I have great warm memories as a family, but I rarely did we ever focus on Christ that day. We would just open our gifts and eat breakfast and then play with our gifts the rest of the day. And that was it. We didn't do it. We didn't focus on Jesus. And you can see how consumerism has distracted the country now, our country, from Christ, because it's, you know, our whole economy is based and charged by Christmas, in a sense. So our Martha Christmas is not only full of distraction, but then it leads to complaining. Think about it. Look at what Martha says in the last part of verse 40. And she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." Now, Martha did go to the right person for her concern, but she had the wrong attitude when she approached Jesus. She thought she knew what was appropriate for the situation. She thought these things needed to be done, and Mary wasn't helping. Matter of fact, she was being like a dead weight. It was all falling into Martha. And she saw Mary just sitting there doing nothing, at least from Mary's or Martha's point of view. She was upset. She complained. And I remember one time my brother shared with me an experience he had at Christmas shopping one Christmas, not recently, but a few years ago. And he had this free night, and he was thinking, oh, I'm going to finish my Christmas shopping on the night, this night, because it's free and I'm busy the rest of the night. So he went out to the store he had in mind, and once he got into the parking lot, there was not one parking space available. I don't know if any of you have experienced this. And so there was a line of cars waiting to find the parking space. So there was this orderly line, and then they were just waiting for people to come out of the store, get into the car and leave, and then the first car in line would grab that spot. It took him 20 minutes waiting to find the parking spot finally. So he parked his car, then he went into the store, and the store's packed. And so he looked around, he got all his things, he got everything he needed, and it ended up being about 15 items. And so he was like, great, I can go in the express lane, right? 20 items or less. So he goes into the express lane, and he's waiting there, and he's waiting, and it seems to be taking forever. And this is like this guy that was even with him that had like twice as many, like 40 items. And that guy ended up checking out three people before him because the express lane was so slow. And he was so frustrated and upset about this whole experience of shopping to buy gifts for the people he loves. And he was so by the time he went home. And you can see that, in a sense, this theme of Martha Christmas is that if we have a Martha Christmas, we're complaining because the lines are long and the traffic's bad and, you know, the line doesn't move as fast as we want, and nothing happens the way we expect it, and we just complain and complain and complain. Then we're having a Martha Christmas. So Martha Christmas is full of distractions. It leads to complaining, and we end up anxious and upset. We're just anxious and upset. Jesus responded to Martha, saying in verse 41, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things." Now, Jesus was the guest here in the home. And Jesus is rebuking his hostess in front of everybody. But you know, Jesus, we know, rebukes the people he loves. And we can see the compassionate love that Jesus has for Martha by what he says here right at the beginning. He repeats her name twice. He says, "Martha, Martha." It's the love he has for Martha. He's concerned for her state of heart, her mindset, and what's going on in there. You know, someone printed words under a scene on a calendar that was very tranquil, very peaceful. And these are the words. It says, "Today is the tomorrow we worried about yesterday. Today is the tomorrow we worried about yesterday." We worry so much about tomorrow. Oftentimes we worry so much about tomorrow that we miss the opportunities we have today because we're so focused on what we're worried about. And for example, one year, right before Christmas, this is my confession time. I was driving to church, and I stopped for a red light, and there was this guy that was walking by, and he got my attention. Always makes your heart kind of, well, like, oh, I wonder what they want, you know? And so I rolled down the window, and he asked if he could have a ride. And so my first thought, I have to confess, is like, I'm too busy. I got so much stuff to do. I can't give this guy a ride. And I said, where are you going? And he told me he's going down here. And so in my mind, I'm like, I don't have time for this. So I just said, well, I can take you one block in the direction I'm going. At least I'll save you a few steps. He was like, great. So he came around and jumped in my car. And so then he told me his name was Chris, and his car broke down at the most unfortunate time, and he's trying to get so and so. And so I drove him a block, and I dropped him off, and I went. But then I'm thinking later that I missed my opportunity to love my neighbor because I was, quote, too busy trying to get everything done I needed to get done. And what I had in my mind was, man, I was planning to work on my message for Sunday this morning, and now this guy, man, if I take him, it's going to cost me like 45 minutes and all this stuff. And so I didn't give him a ride. I just ditched him after one block. I was worried about getting everything done. You know, author Fred Smith once said, trying to break away from our worries is like wrestling an octopus. Imagine that. You can never get free from them if you just keep wrestling with your worries. A Martha Christmas is full of distractions. It leads to complaining. And then we end up anxious and upset about many things. And we do not enjoy this kind of Christmas, do we? That's where I was for many years. Just didn't enjoy it. But on the other hand, a Merry Christmas is focused on Jesus. Right? That's what she did. She focused on Jesus. Verse 39 says, and she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. The phrase here, sat at the Lord's feet, is an idiom in the Greek language that simply means to be a disciple, to be a learner, to be a student, to sit at one's feet. That's you're receiving from that person. And the phrase sat at the Lord's feet, this idiom is also used by the Apostle Paul in a different part of the New Testament in the book called Acts, chapter 22, verse 3. And it's translated there as educated at the feet. He's describing himself, educated at the feet of Gamaliel according to the strict manner of the law of our fathers. So it captures this whole idea of learning from someone else, sitting at the feet of Jesus. She's focused on Jesus. Now, what's interesting about Mary is she's mentioned three times in the New Testament with Jesus. Every time Mary's with Jesus, if you go back and look at these, she's always at his feet in some way. And here she's learning. And then in John, there's two times. One time she falls at his feet for comfort, for Jesus to give her comfort when Lazarus died. And then the third time is when she anoints Jesus 6 days before he's crucified. And if you remember, she pours perfume on him and then wipes his feet with her hair. This is interesting that Mary is always seen humbly at the feet of Jesus every time we see Mary and Jesus together, because her focus was on Jesus. That was Mary's focus. After all, Jesus is what Christmas is all about. And Jesus was what Mary's life looked forward to. She loved Jesus. Christmas is not about Santa Claus. It's not about giving gifts. It's not about family. It's not about helping the poor or homeless. Though when we focus on some of these things, right, these things are the overflow of focusing on Jesus, not the Santa Claus one, but the others, they will naturally come when we focus on Jesus like Mary did. Jesus is our focus at Christmas and is to be every day of our lives. So in a sense, Christmas is every day, should be every day of our lives. So Merry Christmas is focused on Jesus, and it's not distracted by the expectations of others. Look at our text again. When Martha said to Jesus in Luke chapter 10, verse 40, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. And Martha obviously expected Mary to help out, to help her with all these preparations that she had for this special guest, and yet Mary just ditched her and went and just was sitting at the feet of Jesus. Mary knew her sister's expectations, but she just didn't pay attention to him. She listened to Jesus instead. And I can imagine there was some tension at that during this time. And let's be truthful with one another at Christmas time. we have a lot of expectations on ourselves or others, by others on us. I mean, how many gifts and cards we spend time and effort preparing for others is simply because we expect them to expect us to give them something. Right? Oh, I expect that they think that I will be giving them something, so I better give them something because I need to keep my reputation good. I mean, otherwise, you know, I might. Or even worse, right? Or better, we say, what happens when we're not planning to give a gift to someone and then they give us a gift? Then we're like thinking, oh, I should give them something. You know? No? Some of you are like, nah, I don't think that way. But then the expectation. So this thing that goes on at Christmas time often is that we're thinking like, oh yeah, I should give them this, or like all my coworkers at work, or my family members and my nephews and my nieces and all these things that we, you know, it just goes on and on and on. And we think like, oh yeah, I just got to give them this. I got to give this person this. And especially if they give me something, man, I don't want them to think I'm cheap. So I got to give them something back, you know, otherwise, you know, and this is what Christmas becomes. We get so distracted by the expectations that we have on ourselves or of others at Christmas time, and we lose again focus of Christ Jesus. We so busy ourselves and we get so caught up in this, and our culture wants us to, right? They want us to buy stuff, buy, get our economy going again, spend on, you know, yourself or on other people. So Mary instead focused on Jesus, and she wasn't distracted by the expectations of others. And a Merry Christmas also then chooses what is of eternal value. She chose Jesus. Jesus said in verses 41 and 42, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. You know, Martha wanted to provide the best for Jesus. She wanted to prepare so many good things for him. She wanted to be a good hostess, to be hospitable to Jesus, but she had this high standard of what that meant, and it just totally distracted her from Jesus himself. Where, on the other hand, Mary chose to sit at the feet of Jesus and learn from him. She wasn't distracted by the rest. So, you know, like, instead of doing the 10 dishes in preparation for Jesus, she could have just done one or went out and bought pizza or something. You know, just make it simple, because the value is to be with Jesus himself. You know, there's a story of a mother and her son. And the father had died when the son was a boy. He was very young. And so the mother and son had this very special relationship. It was unique. And this was in the days before the internet and TV even. So the habit of families at that time period was at night, they'd listen to the radio, either music or those radio shows that were like books on tape like we know today. Or they would just listen to music. And then they would just either read to each other, to one another out loud, the books that they had. And so it was a very special time for this mother and son. They would often do this pattern at night, listen to music, read to one another some favorite books they had. And in his early 20s, he met this young woman at church, and they fell in love, and they were going to get married. And the mother knew at this time period the housing in the city they lived was very difficult to find, and she didn't want her son to have to move away, far away from her. So she said, hey, we have a two-story home, but why don't we make the upstairs a apartment for me, and then you and your new wife could live in the downstairs floor. But I just require one thing if we do this, is that you don't give up coming and spending some time with me like we used to do it, because I really miss that. Just, you know, once in a while, if you could do that. And the son said, Mom, I want to do that too, because I this is important to me too. So that's what they did. The son got married. They moved in, him and his wife. And for a while, the son, about at least twice a week, would go and spend time with his mom and visit her and maybe listen to some music and read like they used to do for a short time. So that was good. But then the son got busy, you know, and then days and weeks went by before with just maybe a phone call from downstairs or a brief visit from the son. And so time went on, and the mother's birthday came around, and the son wanted to treat his mom really well. So he went out and got a really lovely dress for her, wrapped it up, and brought it to his mom. And so gave it to his mom, and she unwrapped it and saw the dress and was like, wow, I'm so appreciative of what you've done for me, this dress. And then the son was like, what's wrong? You don't like the dress? She's like, no, I like the dress. It's really good. It's my color. And then the son was like, Mom, I know you. You don't like the dress. I have the sales receipt. I can take it back. And mom's like, no, it's lovely. And then he's like, what's wrong? And then the mother turned over to her closet and opened up the closet and said, I have so many dresses. I have enough dresses for the rest of my life. You know, I don't want your dress. I want you, my son. I don't want you to just give me stuff. And this is exactly what Jesus is saying to you and me. He doesn't want us, especially Christmas time, but any time of the year, to just give him stuff or do things for him or busy ourselves being good people. He wants us. He wants to be with us. He wants us to be with him. This is what the Lord Christ wants. And Jesus is the gift of salvation for the world. He wants us to experience him personally and experience that salvation he has for all of us who follow him and decide to follow him. Because Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So Jesus, focusing on Jesus, is what Christmas is all about. So how will we spend today? What are we going to do today? I mean, today is Christmas Day. So what do we got planned to do? Go out and eat? That's what I got planned. We going to busy ourselves doing nice things for each other and, you know, patting each other on the back and saying, you know, renewing our relationships, which is great. It's important. But is Christ going to be involved in any part of that or centered or brought up in conversation or even focused on? I hope so. Otherwise, we might end up just being a Martha Christmas instead of a Mary Christmas. Because after all, Jesus is the only way and the only truth and the only life. The real life. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your love that is evident through Jesus our Lord. By his coming to earth as a baby, incarnate, God incarnate in flesh, and then lived a life free of sin, died willingly on behalf of all mankind to pay our penalty, take on himself the punishment we deserve. And then, Lord, you've offered eternal life, reconciliation with you through Jesus, and we just are so grateful and amazed by this love that we remember this time of year especially. And so, Lord, we just pray that your Spirit would move in all of us today, that we would worship you through what we do. The good deeds we do, the warmth and love we show to one another and those in our midst, that it would all bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.